Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, and welcome to Stalking Time for the Moon Boys, with me, David Baddiel.
And me, Tim Hinks.
Hello, Tim.
Hey, David.
Now, I don't know whether we're going to include any of it, but obviously what we've had so far is 7 minutes of complete technological fuzz. While Tim tried to find a place in his house where the broadband wouldn't immediately not work, and now he's in his... Are you in your bedroom?
Yeah, I'm in the bedroom where it is so far okay.
Yeah.
I've had a succession of basically the most anxiety-inducing period of my life, not because of the virus, but, which is obviously terrible, but because I'm constantly waiting for my broadband to collapse on Zoom meetings.
Yeah.
Some of which are important, some like this are utterly trivial.
Yeah.
But I'm just hoping I found the right spot.
Well, can I just point out that behind you is what looks to me like an unmade part of a bed. Is it unmade?
Well, it's a pillow.
Yeah, but it's not a smoothed out pillow. Like my partner smoothes out pillows on the bed. And actually,
I think
it's one of the things that I think as part of our civilization crumbling that I expect to happen, which is that people would stop making beds. I mean, I can't quite see the point of making beds anyway, but we always do.
I think making a bed is really important because it gives you a sense of order. I think that's what Morwenna is probably trying to do. It makes you feel... Because as you say, you only use it when it's unmade. By definition, you can never be in a made bed, can you? Because you're constantly...
What if it's an apple pie bed?
What's that mean?
You've never heard of it?
An apple pie...
I think we talked about this once before.
Yes.
It's a thing that they do at public school, in boarding schools. Boris Johnson probably did it a lot. It's a sort of prankster's thing where you sort of fold the sheet, the undersheet backwards so that a person can't get into the bed properly. And in that sense, it always remains made.
I'd say that's an unmade bed. Well, that's the point.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, okay.
So
your point stands, your philosophical point stands, you can never be in an unmade bed, in a made bed.
You can never be in a made bed. Also, you never refer to them as made beds, do you, Kirsten? Do you?
Well, I did actually put this on Twitter the other day, that I don't really understand why we're still making beds. And a lot of people said that the feeling of getting into a made bed, I think they said made, was lovely.
A made-up bed?
Maybe a made-up bed. Yeah.
That's fictitious.
But I don't know if it is, because like fresh sheets is one thing.
Yeah.
But I don't really know. When I get into bed, I'm not sure I really notice its madeness.
Well, would you... I'll tell you what would bother me, but would it bother you? A perfectly fresh sheets.
Yeah.
That lovely sort of new linen smell. Everything's... But the duvet, which has also been washed and is fresh, has not been ironed. Now, that should really make no difference, certainly not to your sleeping or comfort. Would that bother you?
I don't know that a duvet... Is a duvet cover normally ironed?
Yes.
Are they? Okay. I don't know. Because I would have thought just by pulling them over a duvet that they smooth out.
No, you have to iron them.
Oh, okay. I didn't realise that.
Were you 16?
Yes. I'm much younger at heart. I don't know. I mean, I just think that once you're in bed, really a made bed is a visual thing for when you go into the bedroom.
Yes.
During the day, isn't it? It's there's a feeling of like, oh, it's all a bit scuzzy and disordered, as you say, if you walk into the bedroom. But here's another thing. I don't go into the bedroom that much during the day.
Right.
I basically only go in there, well, at night when I'm going to bed. Yeah. So, right. Yeah, so no, it's a very short amount of time that I have to put up with the sense, if it's not been made, of like, oh, that's a bit scuzzy. Because then I'm in bed.
It is a bit odd. It has occurred to me before, though I've never said it out loud, and I'm probably about to find out why, that it's quite odd, isn't it, that... Like, you live in a, you know, a sort of built-up area. There are, you have neighbours, is what I'm trying to say, opposite you and around you.
Yeah. I mean, I don't live in a tower block.
No,
it's a built-up area in a kind of slightly 1970s way. Just to be the winter of discontent, tower blocks, you know, rubbish outside the door. No, I live in a Hampstead.
Yeah. But
I've never heard it described as a built-up area.
Well, I suppose what I'm trying to say is you have neighbours around you,
yes,
and other houses, and you're not living in a farm in the country. Anyway, the point is, at let's say midnight, just to be safe, everyone around you is basically sort of horizontal, 3 feet above the ground.
Sorry?
That's what's happening.
Oh, what, they're in bed? You mean they're in bed?
They're all in bed.
Yeah.
So as humans, we're busy about all day, and then we do this sort of odd thing where we just go flat.
Yeah.
A couple of feet above the ground.
Yes, that's true. It's odd.
It's quite odd, isn't it? It's an odd image.
It is odd that we all go flat. I never really thought about it in terms of the dimensions. What you're saying is there's a verticality to life most of the time, and then suddenly it goes horizontal.
And then we all go horizontal.
Not all of us, because obviously...
No, it's true.
Some people are awake, and also different parts of the planet sleep at different times.
That's true.
But nonetheless, a lot of people in one part of the planet do go vertical at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very, very interesting point. It makes me think of another point, which is, I don't think, when I order something, like the other day I ordered a garden goal, football goal.
Yeah.
When I say I ordered a goal, I don't mean I set myself a life goal, like to be a better person. I mean, I ordered a net that you can play football with for my son.
You might want to think about the other thing.
Definitely. And one of the things I might want to think about is knowing this as a life goal, which is, I still don't know, when you see dimensions on a thing that buying, and it's like 17 times 12, I still don't know which way around that is. Which is width and which is height. And I never know, and no amount of Googling seems to quite sort it out.
Well,
Sometimes it's three. I think with the goal, it was three, because there's depth as well.
I think on a thing like a goal, if it was like 17 by 50, or, okay, that's the wrong, if it was sort of 20 by 30, you wouldn't think, God, it's quite short and goes back a long way, would you? You'd sort of know.
Well, you think you'd sort of know, but honestly, I don't. You think like, well, how can it be that complicated? Because a goal... You know what it looks like, but...
I'll tell you the thing, there's another thing in relation to that which I know I'm really bad at, and this is how our lives have shrunk down, or certainly my house, because this is what I found myself doing yesterday. I got the weighing scales out, kitchen weighing scales.
Kitchen weighing scales, so you didn't get on them?
Not for weighing kitchens.
No.
For food and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, okay.
Although I'd never be able to order one on Amazon because I get the dimensions wrong.
You can't fit them in the house.
I can't fit them in time and space.
That really is a kitchen weighing scale. That's actually for weighing kitchen. But I basically got an apple to see how much it would weigh.
Not a computer.
Because, no, a fruit. Unless you're Monsieur Mange Tout, in which you could eat at the computer, couldn't you? So, do you remember him?
No.
Monsieur Mange Tout used to be on things like Tiswas and Blue Peter.
Right.
In the 70s and 80s, and his thing was he could eat, he could eat an Apple computer, not that they were around then.
Okay.
He ate cars and aeroplanes. Remember him?
Monsieur Mange Tout?
Yeah.
Was he actually French?
No. I don't know, actually.
What seems a little odd about that, I'm going to Google him. What seems a bit odd about that is that if you were someone who could eat anything, I think you wouldn't use Mange Tout, which is quite a small and easily edible food product. As your name?
Well,
would you?
Yeah, I see what you mean. I mean, maybe he was French.
Right, his name is Michel Lotito.
So he was French, presumably.
Yeah, French entertainer born in Grenoble. How do you pronounce that? I've always thought you're pronouncing Grenoble. Is it Grenoble or Grenoble? Grenoble.
I don't think a French person would say Grenoble. Grenoble.
He had digestive juices that were unusually powerful, meaning that he could digest unusual materials. It also meant that soft foods, such as bananas and hard-boiled eggs, made him sick.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, okay, so that's interesting that there's, if there is some science behind it, because my memory of him...
Hang on, I've just got to tell you one more thing about him.
Yeah.
So he ate... I don't remember this guy, but he ate, as you say, cars and, you know, suitcases and stuff. But he also ate a Cessna 150. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
It's a plane.
Yeah.
He ate a plane, and it took 2 years... to eat between 1978 and 1980, he was eating a plane.
Wow.
I mean, apart from anything, that must be the longest meal. Maybe that's the history for the longest meal. There's a picture of Michel Letito, Monsieur Mange 2, on his Wikipedia page, eating parts of a Cessna 150. And rather brilliantly, he's doing it in a tuxedo with a white tablecloth and candles next to a plane.
2 years. Do you think his mum said he was not getting any pudding until he finished that Cessna? And he just literally ploughed on.
I wonder what the pudding would have been. Would it have been a Boeing 747? It's a fantastic picture, by the way. He's hardly touched the Cessna in the picture, I have to say.
Well, this is going to be my point, in as much as there's a point to be made about Monsieur Mange too, but it's this. I always felt, because he was definitely, he would come on to... like I say, something like Blue Peter or Tis, you know, as a sort of bit of light entertainment, or even probably Record Breakers as well. I bet he was on Record Breakers. And I used to think of him as like the Cookie Monster, because you know how the Cookie Monster eats, as in he doesn't eat. He sort of just makes a mess.
But that's probably because he doesn't have a proper mouth, does he?
No, he's not...
Or it needs a digestive system.
He's a puppet.
He's a puppet, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why that happens.
He's one of those puppets without a digestive system. Yeah. And I seem to think Monsieur Mange Tout, what he actually did is he cut up the Cessna or the car or to tiny pieces that he could eat. And I used to think, well, I could sort of do that, I think, because they're so small. Or I think he sort of munched away, but then it sort of dropped out of his mouth. That's my memory.
Oh, no, not according to this. According to this,
he
had no problem passing his unusual diet, it says here. I should point out passing is in inverted commas. Now, I don't know why that is. Well, either he did shit it out, in which case...
Or he's the Cookie Monster, like I said.
Well, it doesn't say that on his Wikipedia page. In fact, he holds the record for the strangest diet in the Guinness Book of Records. That's an odd thing. Is that a record? Can you actually quantify that?
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
How would you, absolutely, how would you measure? That's where the Guinness Book of Records, I think, starts to lose a bit of credibility.
He was awarded a brass plaque by the publishers of the Guinness Book of Records. Did he eat it? That's the question.
That's like the Nobel Prize being a sandwich, isn't it, to normal people?
By the way, he died at the what I consider quite young age of 57, so that might be because he was eating rust and bicycle shopping carts.
Well, does it say what he died of, just out of interest? Because
he died of an incredibly broken stomach. No, it doesn't say. He doesn't say what he died of. No, it says he has a very thick lining to his stomach. Can I just correct myself, by the way, from earlier? Because someone listening would have realised something. You may have as well, and I might have missed you saying it. When I said earlier that Mr. Mange 2 was perhaps silly in choosing a Mange 2, a very easily edible vegetable, for his name, considering he's a man who eats aeroplanes, I missed, didn't I, the fact that Mange 2 actually literally means eat everything. I just thought his name was Mr. Small Green Pea Vegetable.
Oh, I see, like calling himself Monsieur Carrot.
Yeah, Monsieur Carrot,
exactly. I see what you mean.
I thought he was calling himself Monsieur Posh Carrot. Can I play you something?
I don't know.
Is that possible? Because I have actually done what I'm going to call some work for this podcast.
Wow.
And what that involved is Googling the words Bowie and lockdown.
Oh, wow.
To find out if there was any David Bowie-related stuff about the lockdown. And something came up, which I have seen already, but I don't know if you've seen it. I don't know if I can play it to you exactly, or maybe you just have to look at your own computer to see it. Which is, if you Google it, the first thing that comes up is JK of Jamiroquai doing his own version of Let's Dance to the tune of, is it Lockdown? Lockdown.
Yeah. No, not to the tune of Lockdown.
Sorry, singing Lockdown to the tune of Let's Dance. Have you seen it?
I have. It's absolutely extraordinary.
It is extraordinary. Shall we play it? Lockdown. Put on your face mask and watch TV. Lockdown. To the sound of the kids are screaming at me.
It's a real cry for help because have you seen the you know the lyrics of this, right?
Of Lockdown by JK.
Yeah. Are
the lyrics available on the internet?
Yeah, well, they're on NME, and there's a bit where he says, "And if you dry cough, I'll run from you," which is sort of, I get it.
Yeah.
A fever so high with diarrhea, that's actually anecdotal. That's not officially one of the symptoms, but I understand what he's saying. Yeah. Then he says, "You know this viral flu is trying to kill you too." That's okay. Personification of the virus, understood. Simple way of thinking about it, but I get that. But then he says, if you should run under a bus, it is because you're bored.
does that rhyme?
It doesn't even rhyme as far as I can tell.
I'll tell you what that is, actually. That's an interesting thing. People who do pastiches of songs quite often think, and I've noticed this because, like, for example, there's been, and it hasn't happened, there's been quite a few people sending me lyrics of a version of Three Lions.
Okay.
Called England Staying Home, We're Staying Home, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And I noticed that all of them just basically use almost entirely the lyrics of Three Lions, but then change one or two words. Yeah.
Okay, like, give us an example, yeah.
NHS Still Gleaming.
Right.
Example is one of the things. And I thought, well, Jules Rimet Still Gleaming. Jules Rimet was a trophy, a golden trophy, and it did gleam. But the NHS, however marvellous it is, probably doesn't gleam. They've just stuck with the original lyrics.
Yes.
And that does, I think they should have written a different lyric, right? With the same music, the same scansion, but a completely different lyric that would suit the NHS. Similarly, I think what Jay's done here is something which I'm afraid is slightly lazy, which is to take the lyric, if you should run, I'd run with you.
Yes.
And thought, well, what could I do with that? Under a bus? Because you're bored?
I see.
See what I mean? If he'd forgotten if you should run and tried a whole new lyric for da 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 da.
Yeah.
Then he could have come up with something marvellously appropriate. But if you should run under a bus because you're bored is just, I've got to come up with something else with if you should run now. Do you see what I'm saying?
No, I totally see. And also a massively reduced bus service at the moment.
Is it, though? Is it massively reduced? Can I ask a question there?
Oh.
Which is, I actually walked into town during my one... Well,
did you stumble into town?
I stumbled. Brilliant. That's China Girl, isn't it? No.
Yeah.
Yes, it is China Girl. But brilliant reference. I probably did because I am old and also I am doing something I never normally do, which is I go for a walk every day. Except yesterday I didn't go because it was raining and I was overjoyed. Were you?
That's interesting because I love my walk.
I put it on Twitter. I said on Twitter secretly, although not that secretly because I was on Twitter, overjoyed that the rain means I don't have to go on the family walk today. And so far about 7,000 people have liked it. So I'm not alone in that secret joy. Right. But you love your walk.
Well, I like to... Yes, I do like the walk. We don't do family walks as such, but I do take my youngest, Otis, and we go to the park or down by the river, and I do look forward to it because the rest of the day, you're sort of at home, right? So I do like the escape.
Yes, I do like it, but I sometimes just think, oh, not the family walk in the same place that we've done every day. And also it's with teenagers, I found it's really hard to get them out. But all I was going to say was, the one time we walked all the way to town, I noticed loads and loads of buses, and none of them have got any passengers on them. It was probably, of all the things that were very 28 days later about that walk around the centre of town, and there were a few of them, the emptiness, there was one massive queue for a food bank that was very depressing. But the thing that felt weirdest to me was that, the fact that all the buses on Waterloo Bridge seemed to be running, but none of them had any passengers in them.
Amazing, yeah. Just going back to the lyric thing.
The lyrics of Lockdown by JK.
Yeah, no, I understand exactly what you mean about changing. For example, with three lines, you'd want a complete rewrite. I suppose the example I'm thinking of is this the right example to give? Which is Candle in the Wind. When Elton redid it for Diana, he did what you're suggesting is the wrong approach, which is basically keeping the lyrics but changing one or two, right?
One or two bits. It's not Elton there. It's Bernie who's doing that, isn't it?
Well, Bernie, fair enough.
Although it's kind of slightly different if it's your song. I know, not your song.
Right. No, it wasn't. It was Candle in the Wind.
I know it's Candle in the Wind. But if it's your song, I can carry on.
No, it's Candle in the Wind.
Yeah. Let's do a whole Who's on First Base version of this. If it's your own song that you've written...
Why didn't you say that?
I wonder if you're given a little bit more license to just use your own lyrics. Although not, you shouldn't really, because if you're trying to deal with a whole new set of stuff... Because Let's Dance is not about lockdown. That's the point. It's not about that, is it? It's about wanting to dance or whatever it is about. Let's assume Let's Dance is literally about wanting to dance in the Australian outback or wherever.
Yeah.
Therefore, it's almost the opposite of lockdown as an idea.
Yeah. No, it just scans.
Because, I mean, let's take an example, right? If you should run... There is no way in the world, if you set out to write a song about lockdown, you would include the lyrics with "if you should run," because there's nowhere to fucking run.
No,
except round around your house.
Yes.
And it's quite hard to run inside your house.
Yes.
You wouldn't have come up with that. If you were from a standing start, I just think you shouldn't follow the lyrics. You should just follow the scansion in a pastiche.
I agree. And he's chosen the wrong... song. I don't know what the right Bowie song to choose would be. It's probably a really obvious one. There is, of course, the great line, as we've discussed many times, "I know when to go out, I know when to stay in," which is almost like the perfect... Matt Hancock could say that. That he could quote Bowie in his briefing, and that would make perfect sense.
No,
he hasn't done that.
No, it wouldn't.
No, it wouldn't.
Matt Hancock came to that platform and said, "I know when to go out, I know when to stay in,"
people would say,
do you? I mean, for a start, you live quite a different life from most people. You're out now, but that's because you're the health secretary. Most people would say, "Well, my job is clearly considered less essential than yours."
I admit that's a PR disaster the way you've done it. Yeah. But what I would, if I was Matt Hancock, I'd say, you know, welcome to the briefing. Another day, another dollar. That's probably wrong. You shouldn't too light of, you know, that's too flippant.
You won't say that.
Another challenging day for the country.
Yeah.
And but may I remind you of the key message that we need to send? In fact, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to quote.
No, you can't quote.
Because.
No, that's cheating. If you say, I'm going to quote David Bowie.
Oh, is it?
And your point, is Matt Hancock could come out and say that. I think that's cheating. You have to work it into a normal sentence.
Okay, fine.
So let me give you an idea of how I think it might go.
Sure.
So Matt Hancock says, well, in answer to, say, Robert Peston's question about how the country is still confused, you know, about what the regulations are. And he says, no, I appreciate that. And I appreciate that for a lot of people it's confusing. I mean, I know when to go out and when to stay in, but I appreciate that perhaps some people don't. I mean, that might come across as a little bit know-it-all. I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard.
I can hear him saying that. And then just breaking into modern love.
or it'd be better if it... This, I admit, is beyond Matt's control, but ideally, you want something like... this is Jeff Phillips from The Sun. Minister, we believe you've been flouting the rules on what, on, you know, when you should, how
the
you
lockdown rules.
Yourself.
We believe you've been flouting the lockdown rules.
And Matt,
Hagson, how dare you?
I say in the strongest possible, I refute that on the record. I know when to stay in. I know when to go out. Get things done.
Yeah, can I point out you got it the wrong way around there?
Yeah, I realised that as I was doing it.
Although get things done brilliantly is, of course, virtually get Brexit done.
Bloody hell. Does the whole of the government's last 5 years have been...
Five years? Oh, my God.
predicted.
On that note that we've discovered that David Bowie, who was always very, very extraordinary foresight, a prophet for our times, always... Yeah. It turns out his lyrics have basically foreshadowed Dominic Cummings' entire career. we should leave it there. And we'll do another podcast, I think, from lockdown very soon. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, David. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Has it, though?
It's been all right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.